living streams of water, clean and cold. Living streams of water wash away my own. Living streams.
Hi, this is Pastor Greg Rubel of Living Streams Community Church in McCordsville, Indiana. We want to thank you for your interest in God's Word and this message. We pray that God puts it into your heart.
Streams of water wash away my soul.
Take your Bibles and turn to Psalm 23. In your bulletin, you'll find another India prayer profile that describes the faith community fellowship churches that have sprung up in India through the Maquon's prayer ministry here in the United States. So I think there's like 14 house churches now that have started because someone over there sent a prayer request over here. Pastor Maquon prayed for it and God answered that prayer over in India. And so these are miraculous kinds of things that are happening. And so that gets some attention in a dark place. And so as people begin to understand that there's a living God who answers prayer, God's using that to reveal his presence to them. And it's drawing a crowd. So we are going to, over our days there, we're going to be visiting many of these churches. And we will be encouraging them in their faith. And at every gathering of these FCF churches, there'll be new believers and then there'll be Hindus who are also wanting to know, that are curious. So every time that we get together with them, we'll have a chance to encourage people in their faith, in their walk with God, and to share the gospel with people who are in desperate need of it. So we are asking you to be praying for them. Because, you know, it's really just an incredible privilege and honor to go join God in the work he's doing there, you know. And so we're praying that we can be part of that work. So I got a message to share with you from Psalm 23 that I believe is an encouragement to any believer, new, mature, anywhere in between. This passage of scripture is pretty familiar to many because it's got so many wonderful truths for our life with God and about who God is. So we're going to start this morning by reading Psalm 23 together. Okay, so the words are going to be on the screen, so we're all in the same version. Okay, so let's read together. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for that wonderful psalm. Such a description that we're given of life with you from a man who knows you so well. And we pray, Father, that as we hear those words ringing in this room, that they would flow down into our hearts today, that they would take root, that they would bear fruit in our homes, where we work, in the grocery store, at school, and right here at church. We thank you, Lord, for your word, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, you have to face this fact. This is a fact you have to face, fact of life here. There's a lot of fear in our life. A lot of fear. I mean, This is a terrifying world that we live in. Have you ever tried to list off fears, things that you're afraid of? Fear of failing, fear of the future, fear of public speaking, fear of flying. It's a long list. Fear of being alone, fear of getting too close, the fear of a person, fear of conflict, the fear of being late, fear of heights, of vomiting, of spiders, pain driving, flowers falling. List is long. Girls, germs, snakes, commitment, the dark, and of course, the fear of clowns. Right? I mean, is it any wonder we get out of bed? Right? I mean, all these fears. Now, some of them we would say, of these fears, we would say they're silly. At least we would say that if we're not afraid of them. Right? But fear is a fact of our lives, and we face many of them every day, more than we probably think we do. And so fear has this powerful influence on our behavior. It can paralyze us and just freeze us, or it can empower us to do things that maybe we shouldn't do. So fear can keep you from acting. It can keep you from going to the doctor. It can keep you from having a conversation. It can keep you at home and hiding. If you're afraid of running out of money when you get older, it can motivate you to skimp and save your whole life and put it all away for a day that may not ever come. Ask yourself these questions. How much of my behavior is influenced by fear? And how much of my behavior is influenced by faith? Good questions to think about. Now, these wonderful words of life in Psalm 23, they elaborate some truths for believers who can hold on to them when we have to face fear. And so you're going to end up this morning with five statements that will help you when it feels like fear is growing and faith is shrinking. And all of them flow out of a relationship with an almighty God who walks with us and talks with us through this terrifying world that we live in. Now, we learn these truths from a guy who has vast experience with God and battling fear. David wrote this psalm as one who knew what he was talking about. And we don't know when he wrote this psalm, but I believe it was after he became king, after he had been had the experience of dealing with lions and bears as a shepherd boy, after he had taken on giants and foreign kings and fighting untold numbers of enemies. David knows what he's talking about. He is speaking from experience. Let's learn how we can fight fear with our faith. So the first statement to help us do that is, God will be with me. Now you're gonna repeat some things after me. I'm gonna include another learning sense this morning. So these go down deep. You remember, so you need to repeat some of this with me. Say it with me. God will be with me. That's pretty good. I don't know how well it'll play in India, but it's good right here. Right? It's good right here. So the first verse, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Now we could stop right there, couldn't we? And that would be enough to communicate to us in our battle with fear, that we can overcome that battle, that we can win that battle. Now David knew something about being a shepherd. I mean, he knew what he was saying when he was describing God as his shepherd, because he had been a shepherd himself. So he knew that role of taking care of the sheep. It meant that he was responsible for them. It meant that he would watch over them, that he protected them, that he led them to food and safety. It meant that he never left them. He stayed in their presence. He stayed out in the fields where the sheep were. So David knew about being a shepherd. David also knew about being a sheep. I mean, he knew something about sheep. And when you call God your shepherd, that means you're identifying yourself as one of his sheep. So sheep can be described as childlike, living in dependence on someone else for their well-being. And David is placing himself under God's care when he says, the Lord is my shepherd. Now, being in God's presence meant contentment. And when you have God in your life, when He is present in your life and you're recognizing that and you have all of Him, what else do we need? I shall not want. One of God's characteristics is His omnipresence, that He is everywhere all the same time, all of the time. That's a truth that we can cling to when we think about this. But there's also something known as God's manifest presence. And so that's when He reveals Himself in a special way to us. And so His omnipresence is kind of like, I know He's there because the Bible says He's there. I don't see Him or feel Him, but I know He's there. And His manifest presence is, I know He's there because I can feel Him. I can see evidence of Him. And so He does that at times. I believe when we gather for worship on Sunday mornings, we experience God's presence. You know, we call God to invite Him to come and be among us as we worship Him. And we invite Him to have His way among us. What we are asking is that He would reveal Himself to us, to individuals, through our prayers and through the songs that we sing and through His Word. Now, there's nothing that we can do or nothing we should try to do to force an experience of God. That's not what we're talking about. But we are inviting Him to come and to be among us in a very real way and to manifest His presence here. And when that happens, wonderful stuff happens. You know, there is no want or need when that happens. And when we seek His presence with all of our heart, God promises that He will supply it. Sometimes He does that in exciting ways. Sometimes He does that in quiet, special ways. But the result is always, I shall not want. I shall not want. Now, it doesn't just happen when we gather for worship. In fact, when you are facing your fears, there's a good possibility you're going to sense the presence of God. This quiet assurance of peace that comes over you inside your soul because you're aware that He's with you. And He's right where you are. On my last trip to India is April 2013. That was my first time and also the first time I'd gone that far away from home. And Pastor Menubhai Makwan, that's his whole name, he was my shepherd. And, you know, he made sure that I had something to eat, that I had a place to sleep. He took me to people that needed prayer. He translated my words to communicate. Without Pastor Makwan there, I would have been lost in India. I mean, really crippled, not able to do anything. Now, for a few days during that trip, Makwan took sick and he ended up going to the hospital. And I was there in my room alone. And I was, you know, had no way to communicate with him, no way to find out how he was doing, just waiting and praying. I couldn't call him. I couldn't go to him, you know. And so every time that I started to feel, you know, like I'm alone here in a very foreign place, very far from home. And that fear started to come up inside of me because of unfamiliar things and unknown things. Then God's presence would come and just squash that. Would just overcome that. Now, I was scheduled to preach the next day in another town. I don't know what it was called. I couldn't take you there if you asked me to today. But Pastor Makwan arranged for another shepherd to step in. His name was Satyanand Samuel. And he kind of picked up where Makwan left off. And he became my shepherd. And he made it possible for me to go and tell people about Jesus, doing all the things that I needed done. He led me to places, homes. They invited me in and gave me something to eat. They gave me a place to sleep. You know, I mean, everything, that he was taking care of me. And that whole time that I was, I mean, I barely knew this man. I just met him in the hospital room with Makwan. And the whole time that I was with him, he kept turning around and he'd be looking at me and he kept asking me, are you okay? Now, I don't know if my face was saying that I wasn't okay, but I was. I was okay because I had a shepherd who was manifesting God's presence to me. God will be with me. That is the statement that we want to remember this morning. He will be with me, watching over me, taking care of me. That's how God shepherds one of his sheep. Jesus made this promise to his followers in Matthew 28:20, "And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." His omnipresence means he's already in that meeting that you got to go to, that you don't want to go to. You don't know what's going to happen. It means he's already at that doctor's appointment or in that surgery room. He's already there taking care of what's going to happen. He's already there. He's in your new job. He's in your new class. Whatever it is that you got to go through that's unfamiliar and unknown, that causes fear to rise up inside of you, God will be with you. That's what we want to say. Let's say it again. God will be with me. He will. He will. Second statement is, God will lead me. God will lead me. And it comes out of verses 2 and 3. David is describing ways that God is with him. And so you have this contentment from his presence, but there's more. Verse 2 says, "He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters." Now, that doesn't mean that he's going to take you out of the fearful situation, but it does mean that when you're in the midst of it, there can be rest. The pressure can be taken off. I mean, just thinking about God leading you through whatever that unknown is, whatever the unfamiliar is, just thinking that he's going to lead me through there changes it immediately when you start to trust that. So when you're facing a fearful situation, I mean, what is it that causes your soul to go topsy-turvy? What is it? Isn't it worry and anxiety and fear? And the what ifs. You know, what if? What if my mom and dad say no? You know, what if I don't get the job? What if the doctor finds something wrong? What if people don't like me? What if I fail? And on, the what ifs go, right? And if we play that recording, the what if recording in our mind over and over, what that does is it fuels the fear. It fuels the fear that's going on inside of us. And then that will paralyze us, or it will push us into actions that may not be the right thing to do. For sure, what it does is it doesn't allow us to rest. I really like the way David wrote this. "He makes me lie down." I like that. I need to be led to rest. You know, I need to be led there. When you take your hands off the wheel of life and you let God do the driving, everything changes. Immediately you experience your circumstances differently. Your faith begins to overcome fear that's making you topsy-turvy on the inside. Ever seen still waters? And have you ever seen a picture where it's just like a mirror? You know, and you know it's still deeper, and it's just this rich serenity. That's what David's talking about, the still waters. That happens when you trust God to lead you through. Verse 3 says, "He restores my soul." He restores my soul. Again, a promise from Jesus in chapter 11, verses 28 to 30. "Then Jesus said, 'Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light.'" So that is an invitation. An invitation to follow him. An invitation to come under his leadership in your life. When you do, there's rest there. There's still waters. There's restoration for your soul. Are you in a situation today that you don't know which way to go? You don't know what decision to make? Or maybe you're in a situation where you're trying to advise somebody. Somebody's asked your opinion and you don't know how to advise them. And it just starts consuming your thoughts and stirring up fear about the future. Take note of the end of verse 3. "He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake." So that's the path out ahead. That's a future thing. He leads me in paths of righteousness. He leads me in right ways. And look at the way that verse goes. not just for us, but he's got something at stake too. His own name. For his name's sake, he leads us in right ways. His reputation in the world. Our witness says something about that as we continue to follow him. You know, I've found myself in the situation of helping three of my kids now try to figure out what to do after high school. You know, what to study in college, and, you know, what career should they pursue? How best can they be a helper to their spouse? You know, these questions, they pop up, and I think there's a lot at stake at that time of life. And I think that's one of the most difficult decisions an 18 or 19 year old has to make. You know, and as I get involved with that, with them, I have to remember, God will lead me. God will lead my children. Did you know walking by faith is hard? Did you know allowing your children to walk by faith is harder? It is. I was sure somebody would amen that. Thank you. I don't know. I mean, I can worry and fret about what the future holds for my kids. And, you know, if I let it, that can cause me to push. That can push me to push them into places that God may not want them to go. And so I have to remember, God will lead me and God will lead my kids in paths of righteousness. He will do that. He will do it. He will do it. So when we don't know the way, we need to trust that he leadeth me. He leadeth me. Can you say it with me again? God will lead me. He will. He will. Third statement comes out of verse 4. God will protect me. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. So David brings up three fear mongers: danger, death, and the devil. When was the last time you felt like you were in danger? Yeah, at home, we take care of about 3 acres of grass. And before we know it, we will break out the Dixie chopper mowing machine, and we will be harvesting grass every week. And before I had built-in lawn care in my kids, I did most of the mowing. Sometimes I'd let Lori do it, but I really like to get on the Dixie chopper. It's the fastest mower in the world. And so it's fun. It's fun to mow grass. Well, when the kids were little, and they were outside in the yard while I was cutting, they would always steer clear of the Dixie chopper mowing monster. I mean, if it looked like, if I'm cutting grass and they come out and it looked like I'm coming in their direction, I mean, it was like they had one eye on the monster, one eye on where they were going. I mean, they wanted to get away. And I always thought that was funny. You know, because Dad was on top of the monster. You know, so I always thought it was funny that they would focus on the danger and not the dad on top of the danger. But isn't that how we are? When we see that danger, we see the unfamiliar, the unknown, we feel things get unsettled, we put all of our focus on the danger and we forget our dad who's on top of the danger, who's in control. David reminds us here that we are going to go through valleys and they're going to feel dark. And may even feel like we will come to harm. And this is where we want to remember that God will protect us. Now, David gives this valley a name. He calls it the shadow of death. So whether that's death itself or something that circumstances just feel like death, when we walk through that valley, there can be a lot of fear that comes up when we do that. And so this is one of those areas of our lives where believers ought to have a completely different experience than unbelievers when we're walking through the valley of the shadow of death. It should be totally different. One of my favorite movies is called Gods and Generals. It's about the beginning of the Civil War. And one of the main characters in that is General Stonewall Jackson. And in one of the scenes, the movie quotes Stonewall's actual words. A general, John Daniel Imboden, asked him how he could keep so serene in the midst of the raging battles. And this is what Stonewall replied with: "My religious belief teaches me to feel as safe in battle as in bed. God has fixed a time for my death. I do not concern myself about that, but to be always ready, no matter when it may overtake me. Now that's a man who was trusting God to protect him. Jesus said this in John chapter 10, verses 27 to 29. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they will never perish. No one can snatch them away from me. For my Father has given them to me, and he is more powerful than anyone else. No one can snatch them from the Father's hand. So even when it comes to death, our life is safe in the hands of our shepherd, Jesus. He will protect us. And then, of course, there is the devil. David says, I will fear no evil. You know, our enemy is not to be trifled with. He is real. He is angry. And he is after us. He is after us. And he comes in many forms. Many times in an attractive way as an angel of light. But when he shows up and fear starts to rise up, battling that situation is all about coming under God's protection. Listen to these Bible verses. Psalm 91, 9 to 11. If you make the Lord your refuge, if you make the Most High your shelter, no evil will conquer you. No plague will come near your home, for he will order his angels to protect you wherever you go. James 4, 7. So humble yourselves before God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Ephesians 6, 10 and 11. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against the strategies of the devil. And 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. But you belong to God, my dear children. You have already won a victory over those people because the spirit who lives in you is greater than the spirit who lives in the world. Even when it comes to the ferocious devil and all of his army of demons and all of the schemes that he has that he wants to bring against you, even when it comes to all of that, when we walk with Jesus under his protection, we run to the Lord. He is our refuge and strength. God will protect me. Amen. Can we say it? God will protect me. He will. He will. The fourth statement to hear is God will lift me up. Now the imagery kind of changes here in the psalm from God being a shepherd to God being a host providing for his guest. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Now this really helps us when we think about dealing with our insecurities. And you know, a lot of the fear that we deal with has to do with the fear of man, what they think of us, what they might do to us. And here David depicts God here as a host for a meal. And so Yahweh, the Lord God Almighty, is throwing you a dinner party. And he's preparing things himself, which ought to speak volumes to you about how he loves you. You belong to him. Now, the other guests at this party are your enemies. So everything that is against you, you can see at this dinner party, the people who want to put you down, the problems that want to hold you back, the powers that just want to roll over the top of you. When God lifts you up, he is showing you that all things are possible. When God lifts you up, he is showing your enemies his glory as you faithfully trust in him and follow him. David said, God anoints his head with oil and his cup overflows. So you're not just any guest at this party. You're the guest of honor. You're the one being lifted up. You're not just a servant at the table. God is lifting you up. So I don't know, picture Thanksgiving. Picture more than Thanksgiving. This is a huge banquet with an all-you-can-eat buffet of your favorite foods. Your cup is running over here. You know, God is honoring you, and your heart overflows with his provision and with his affirmation of you as he does this in front of the people and things that are against you. And you can see Jesus acting in this way in his ministry. Remember the paralyzed man who was on his mat, and his four friends decided they needed to get him in front of Jesus, and they took him to a house, and it was too crowded to get him inside, so they took him up to the roof, and they lowered him down through the roof to get him in front of Jesus. Now, this man, being paralyzed, would have been looked down on in society. You know, that he must be being punished for his sins. So the people that were the religious leaders, the people who were God had obviously blessed because they were healthy and wealthy, they would have been, this has been somebody they would have discarded. Wouldn't have talked to this person. But that's not what Jesus does. He doesn't ignore the man. He doesn't get flustered because somebody interrupted his preaching. No, instead, he sees their faith as demonstrated by how hard they worked to get this man in front of Jesus. He sees their faith and he says to the man, "Son, your sins are forgiven." I mean, he's lifting that man up in front of all the people who think he's worthless. Now, that statement got Jesus in a lot of trouble. Because the religious leaders that were there listening to him talk, looking for a way to challenge him, to find something wrong with what he was teaching, think they found it. How can this guy say that? Only God can forgive sins. And then Jesus moves farther into the realm of the miraculous. And he says, you know, "So that you may know that the Son of Man has the power to forgive sins, rise up and walk." And the man stands up. God lifts him up physically, lifting him up in front of all these people. And he picked up his mat and went home. That's how God loves and values people. That's showing us who Jesus is. Now, it's kind of hard to find an illustration in our world about this. This is what I was thinking about. It might be something like God throwing a dinner party for our new president, Donald Trump. And he invites to this party all of the people who have been protesting him and just can't stand him. And then at the party, he gets their attention and he asks Donald to stand up and he affirms and honors Donald in front of all of these protesters. See, I told you it was hard to find an illustration, you know, from our world. Forgive me, Lord. God preparing a table before your enemies and anointing your head with oil. Maybe it looks a little bit more like this. Maybe it's a little bit more like that. You know, where we're kind of like that Down syndrome manager. And we get up and we can feel our disability as life throws stuff at us. And our coach gives us a chance to get in the game. And we hit the game-winning three-pointer and everybody rushes the floor, lifts up. That's God lifting us up in front of our enemies. And when he does that, you don't need to have a defense. You don't need to prove yourself to anybody. You won't feel small in the presence of anyone. He is saying to everything that is against you, to everyone who is at odds with you, "This one is mine. They belong to me." Isaiah 54:17 says, "But in the coming day, no weapon turned against you will succeed. You will silence every voice raised up to accuse you. These benefits are enjoyed by the servants of the Lord. Their vindication will come from me. I, the Lord, have spoken!" Exclamation point. I, the Lord, have spoken. God will lift me up. So when fear seems paralyzing and defeating us, David describes a God who lifts us up as victorious. Victorious over all that is against us. And when he does that, when he lifts us up, a confidence comes, but it doesn't come from us, it comes from him. And when that confidence comes, then courage comes. And that allows us to move forward in the fearful situations that we face. God will lift me up. Can you say it? God will lift me up. He will. He'll do it. The last verse gives the last statement to help us fight fear with faith. God will keep me. God will keep me. Verse 6, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." You know, fear has a way of zapping your strength. And it's really emotionally draining when you're feeling that fear, and it takes a toll on us physically. And here David's words remind us that it's not going to be in our strength that we make it through this life and get home. It's not going to be in our strength that we make it through this day and be faithful. It's going to be in his strength. He will keep us. So whatever your fear might be today, it's God who keeps you and gets you through it. Let me remind you of these great words in Romans 8, 38 and 39. I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, neither our fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow, not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below. Indeed, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Are you convinced of that? Like Paul was? I mean, he like made sure the Romans were hearing that. The Christians there in Rome. Made sure that they were hearing. Nothing can separate us. Nothing can separate us from his love. Nothing that we can do. Nothing that we can say. No place we can go. Nothing. Nothing can separate us. God will keep me. And when you know that God has got you, that he's not going to abandon you, that he's got a place waiting for you, custom built in his house for you, doesn't that free you to face some fear? God will keep me. Can you say it? God will keep me. He will. One evening in Southern California, there were three men who were walking down Newport Beach, and they went past a bar that there was a fight going on the inside of this bar, and it had spilled out into the street. And so these three guys, they see some men beating up on another guy. He was bleeding from his forehead, and they knew that they needed to do something. And so they went over to break up the fight, but they weren't very intimidating. And the story goes like this. All we did was walk over and say, "Hey, you guys cut that out." And that didn't do much good. Then all of a sudden, the guys that were fighting looked up at us, and they had fear in their eyes. And they stopped beating this man up, and they started to walk away. Man says, "I didn't know why until I turned around and looked behind us. Out of the bar had come the biggest man that I had ever seen. He was 6'7" tall, probably 300 pounds, 2% body fat. We decided to call him Bubba, not to his face, only when we talked about him. Bubba didn't say a word. He just stood behind us and flexed. All of a sudden, my attitude was transformed. And I said to those guys, "You better not let us catch you coming around here again." I was a different person because I had a great big Bubba. I was ready to confront with resolve and firmness. I was released from anxiety and fear. I was filled with boldness and confidence. I was ready to help somebody that needed helping. I was ready to serve where serving was needed. Why? Because I had a great big Bubba. I was convinced that I was not alone, that I was safe. If I were convinced that Bubba were with me 24 hours a day, I would have a fundamentally different approach to my life. If I knew Bubba was behind me all day, you wouldn't want to mess with me. What is there that I would not try to do? But he's not. I can't count on Bubba. Psalm 23 tells us we have a God we can count on. God will be with me. God will lead me. God will protect me. God will lift me up. God will keep me.
Amen.
He will. He will. Let's have our worship team come back up. You know, when I am preparing these messages, I'm thinking about India, and I have some work to do on that one still, so it'll translate. And then I think about you guys and encouraging you in your faith. But really this morning, you know, that message is for me. It's for me. About 2 weeks, we're going to get on an airplane and fly pretty far from home into a very foreign place. And it's not a very comfortable thing for me to do. So we cover your prayers. But right now, I'll be praying for those FCF churches and the gatherings that we'll have. You know, I was thinking it's so important to go and share the gospel, but, you know, we're going to go and encourage pastors and new believers. And I kind of think that's more important because we're coming home and they're staying there to serve the Lord and share the gospel and shine the light. So let's pray. We got to pray that God will grow the kingdom from our visit. So let's stand. Father, we thank you so much for being our shepherd, for loving us the way you do, for your faithfulness to us. We are your sheep. We need you in our lives to live in this terrifying world. Lord, I pray for us today that we would sense and know your manifest presence with us in the world that we are going out to live in, and the jobs that we're going to, the homes we go back to, the neighborhoods, the schools, that we would know you're with us. God will be with me. And that you'll lead us through the unknown and the unfamiliar. That you'll protect us when we feel in danger, when it feels like death, when the enemy is after us. That you will lift us up when we feel small, when we feel our disability. And that we can rest in your strength, that you'll keep us all the way home. You are so awesome. Grow our faith, Lord, in these truths. As we go out, help them to echo in the chambers of our hearts and then become a reality in our lives. We love you today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.